Denodo Databytes. Welcome everyone to another exciting episode on the Denodo Databytes series. I'm your host Neha, and today I would like to introduce you to Errol Rodrigues, Director of Product Marketing for Europe, Middle East and Latin American regions. Errol is renowned for his extensive technical knowledge, strong business acumen and key analytical skills. With a wealth of expertise in driving business growth and innovation, Errol is here to share invaluable insights into the dynamic intersection of marketing, sales, and technology. Errol, it's great to have you on our podcast today. Before we dive into our topic, that is evolving the customer experience, hyper-personalization meets data virtualization, could you share a brief overview of your background and your role at Denodo for our listeners, please?
Sure. Thank you for having me on this conversation, and I'm glad to be here. My role at Denodo is primarily in product marketing. I have a strong background in marketing, sales, and even in product management. So I have a technical and a marketing background. The role at Denodo is twofold. There's two parts to my job. One is to be the head of product marketing for the EMEA region and Latin America, but the second is to be responsible for focused messaging on verticals, vertical use cases. By verticals, I mean different industries like finance, healthcare, energy and utilities, and even public sector. So that's what I do. I have been in the industry for a long time, over 30 years now, and I've held different roles at different organizations in the past, big and small companies alike. So that's an introduction to me.
Thank you, Errol. So let's get started with our conversation then. So my first question for you today is, can you explain the concept of hyper-personalization and how it integrates with data virtualization?
Sure. Let's start with what hyper-personalization is, and then we can talk about the data virtualization side of it. So I don't know how many times anyone's walked into a bank or had to deal with a utility company where they've had to explain over and over again who they are. Leave alone, expect the company to not only know who they are, but also perhaps have an insight into what you might be interested in or why you might be calling. So hyper-personalization is an advanced approach to such companies, and it goes beyond personalization. Personalization basically leverages what customer segment you might be in, maybe something about your demographics. So that's traditional personalization. And then use broad categories and maybe big buckets of targeted content and recommendations. Hyper-personalization is an advanced approach to personalization. It leverages, yes, data, but also big time artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning techniques to create highly tailored and individualized experiences for users or customers. So it typically involves analyzing vast amounts of data from various sources, such as any user interactions you may have had, past behaviors, demographics, social media, very important social media activity that provides great insights, and even environmental factors, to build detailed user profiles, if you like, or personas. And these personas or these profiles are then used to customize content, product recommendations, marketing messages, even the way in which you interact, user interfaces. They might customize that for you because they know something about you. And other aspects. So to meet very specific needs and preferences for each individual user. Now, that's just setting the scene. So you can think about this from the time you apply for a mortgage or you go to a bank for some services, or you're dealing with, and I'm focusing on the financial services because that's where the need is most prevalent right now. So, you might be even needing advice, etc. And the organization you're dealing with would normally want to use hyper-personalization to not only make you welcome, but also to give you the best possible advice, the best possible product that they can give you. And if there is any innovation to be done, that's where they apply it. They'll give you innovative new offerings. And does it apply in any other industries? Yes, it does. Just about every vertical industry we're looking at, whether it's energy, utilities, healthcare, insurance, even manufacturing, when they're dealing with their manufacturing customers, they need a degree of hyper-personalization to improve customer experience. One of the big challenges that it addresses is loyalty, customer loyalty. banks in particular, the established banks, face competition from online banks that are perhaps more agile, not as well known. And the only reason those banks can afford to be as agile is because they don't have the expense, the need to have an established bank in the presence, which is what people have right now and value. But they need to be as agile as these customers, as these companies are towards customers. So the need for customer experiences that are based on hyper-personalization. Now, what's the link with data virtualization? You know, for those of you who know what data virtualization is, you'll probably see the link straight away. But the ability to access a vast amount of data, differing types of data, varying in complexity type. So you might be looking at structured data, which is basically information about you and your transactions, etc., but also less structured information, where you like to be, what you like to do, what your interests might be. And some of this data that you're looking at that relates to you, the persona in this case, might be unstructured. It might be time dependent, meaning there's no point in getting this data after, you know, after a year or after 6 months, after when you want it immediately, for it to be put to good use. But putting to good use is giving it to the analytics world to actually derive insights from that data. So the ability to access data on a widespread basis in real time and with varying levels of complexity, but to also make this data available to the subject matter experts, people who will then use this data to deliver the personalization, which is largely, as I said, AI analytics based. They will need a virtualized approach to accessing this data, a logical approach. They cannot afford to wait for big data warehouses to be built. They take too long, they're too complex, they're very costly, and not always anywhere near as effective as having access to the real thing in a governed way, in a way, in a manner that is still compliant and respectful of privacy, is still heavily run by secure environments. So they give you access to this data, they make use of it, and then what they do with the insights from data virtualization is where you get your personalization from. Now, I can go on about data virtualization, you know, the aggregating data from multiple sources, real-time access, dynamic discovery, meaning finding out where this data is, and being able to be flexible, scalable, while being secure and governed. But this topic is on customization of experiences. It's about hyper-personalization. So I hope that explains it.
Neha, tell me if it didn't, and I'll clarify.
No, it definitely did.
Thank you.
It's very interesting how you linked both of these topics together. How are hyper-personalization and data virtualization reshaping the customer experience relationship? Can you provide some examples of how these technologies enhance customer satisfaction and engagement?
Sure. I mean, the simplest example is when you are, you know, requesting any kind of financial services. Let's say you go into a bank and you're looking to borrow money. You're looking to borrow money for a mortgage. Now, how many of you have actually had to fill out forms, get credit references, checks? You know, depending on which part of the world you are in, the rules are slightly different. And the filling out of these forms, the gathering all of this information takes long. It's not an immediate thing. It can be highly stressful. And sometimes it drives you away from the organization you'd normally deal with to go somewhere else where it might have been made easier, you know, getting a new mortgage. Now, how nice would it be if you walked in and not only did they know your name and they knew who you were, they knew exactly what kind of mortgages you might be looking at because they know your situation. They know where you live. They know how many children you might have. Now, you might think this is intrusive, but actually a lot of this information is quite commonly available. And they also get a feeling for the sort of things you like. You like to live in a warm climate, or you like to live in an environment which has good schools of this type. Now, all this information can be had through data virtualization. So real life experiences when the mortgage is almost takes a matter of minutes to actually agree on the type of mortgage you're looking for, what you could afford. And how delighted would you be to say, I didn't expect that, but, you know, they knew exactly what we needed. They actually came up with some of the best offers possible. So they've done their homework, but they did their homework in advance of me even asking them for some of that stuff. So that is a really good experience to have. Now, what does it mean to the business? It means you've demonstrated that you are, in this case, a bank that cares. You've demonstrated that you're a bank worth being loyal to, and you've now earned their loyalty. So if another bank comes along and says, would you like to move over to us? You'd be hard-pressed to say yes. I mean, there's no way you could fault your current bank, because all of this has already been taken into account, and you have now formed a better relationship with that bank. You've got what you want, and you go away a happy customer. So that's what it means. You know, there are challenges to get this done, but when it comes together, hyper-personalization can be a truly amazing experience.
So what are some of the key challenges that businesses face when integrating hyper-personalization and data virtualization into their existing systems? And I know you mentioned that there could be some challenges in earlier. So what would they be, and how can these challenges be effectively addressed?
Okay, so hyper-personalization promises wonderful things, absolutely. Significant benefits in terms of customer engagement, satisfaction, etc. So let's look at the key challenges, because the converse of that is if it goes wrong, if you get it wrong, think about the disaster that could ensue. Okay, so it's always interesting to actually see what could go wrong, and then you get a better understanding of the challenges. So let's start with the first one. Data quality, integration, challenges in ensuring quality and reliability of the data that you're using for hyper-personalization has to be assured. And the only way that you can get that kind of data is to be able to, as they say, leave no data behind. Don't skimp on a source of data that could have made the difference. So you need to access, because the data might be fragmented across many systems, many different types of access, many levels of accuracy, completeness, consistency. So when you integrate data from disparate sources, you need to find some way of actually maintaining some sort of data quality standard. And that can be complex and time-consuming. And it's easier, you can shorten this whole cycle down by actually having virtualized access with the governance in place to ensure that if something may be suspect, you can go back and challenge it, fix it quickly. So that's first. Second, you know, the data that you're going after is not always publicly available. There is a level of privacy and data security that you need. So there's challenges to do with data privacy, data security. There is regulations that you need to comply with. Like in Europe, we have a strong need for GDPR. There are various others. If you're dealing with health information, it gets even worse, you know, more strict. So you have to assure people that their privacy and security is respected. So this knowledge is used for good, but not shared. That is probably the ideal way of dealing with it. So strong need for privacy and data security. Now, when we get into the technology of it, you know, the algorithms used by hyper-personalization engines could introduce things like bias in the recommendations or experiences, you know, leading to unfair outcomes or things that they think, like I said, are right but are wrong. So this occur mainly because there's a bias in the underlying data. So you need to know that the fairness of the data is also being checked. So the design of the algorithms need to take that into account. And when you get algorithmic fairness and means of mitigating any bias going, then you've got your own to a good thing. Real time. There's no point in having personalization for something that happens, you know, after the event. You know, you've come in for a mortgage, you need it now. Nobody's going to try and putting something together for much later defeats the purpose. So real-time data, you need real-time access. That's a challenge. And then, you know, you need to accommodate once word gets out that, you know, this kind of bank, you know, you're going to have a growing user base, increasing data volumes. Data is always increasing. So, you know, banks, businesses will face challenges in scalability, performance, etc. So there's the scalability and the infrastructure needed. And then the last two, I would say, first is customer expectations. You know, what are they expecting, and do they trust you? You have to build trust. And, you know, striking the right balance between personalization and respecting customer preferences while being transparent about data usage has to be built in to the way you do this. And finally, the content itself and the context relevance. You don't want to use data that is not relevant or not in context. So these are some of the challenges. A logical approach to accessing this kind of data allows you to build in the necessary governance, it gives you the time that if you need it to go back and check stuff quickly, real time, but it actually can help you build in by actually working with, you know, advanced AI analytics, even in the selection of the data that you're going to use for personalization. Now, remember where this data is going. It's not just going to sit on its own somewhere. Somebody's going to, you know, magically come up with the recommendations. It's got to integrate at the other end. So at the other end, what do I mean? In terms of industry, if you look at the top three areas of technology for customization, for personalization, they fall into three broad camps. One, of course, is customer experience. For those of you who know companies that do CRM, you know what customer experience may look like from those applications. And of course, the data you're providing has to be consumable by those apps. The second might be digital experience. That's a whole different sector. So if you think a company like Salesforce does CRM, Adobe might do digital experience. And then the third is voice of customer. They also work on optimizing, you know, what customers think. And, you know, you might use a different company for that, might be top of that segment. So integrating and making the data available to all of these involves something called data products, which is essential. A data product is when you actually embed all that is necessary into one unit that is very consumable by these technologies and companies to deliver the hyper-personalization. So if you've got the means to democratize data, build a fabric, access it intelligently on a self-service basis, and then push it through AI analytics and linked technologies through to being made into data products and then presented to the end applications, that's how you tackle this.
So I have a question for you here. So how can businesses seamlessly integrate customer experience, digital experience, and the voice of customer that you mentioned with robust regulatory compliance and data security measures? Are there any best practices that you would like to mention?
Yeah, I'm sure people will have their own views on how best to do this. But, you know, they fall into, I would say, the best practices that we are starting to witness out there, they fall into eight camps. There are eight camps that I normally refer to. The first is to make sure you have something called data governance policies in place. You know, they define how the data is collected, how it's stored, where it's stored, if it is stored, you know, how it's processed and how it is shared. These practices, the data governance practices, there are many publications on how this might be done, and they include, you know, ensuring the quality, integrity, security throughout the life cycle. But also it defines rules, responsibilities. All these need to be nailed down. So data governance, big area that needs to be looked at, and that's how they start. The second is compliance. You've got to be compliant. Privacy compliance is probably foremost here. It's important from a regulatory point of view, but also from a trust building point of view. And, you know, you need to enable individuals to say, you know, we want to exercise our rights when you touch my personal information, or the right to access it and use it. They need to be given the option to say that's okay. The third camp is ethical guidelines. This is a tough one. You know, what's ethical and what's not? You know, establishing ethical guidelines for hyper-personalization ensures respect, you know, for user autonomy, dignity, diversity. And this one's a tough one. This, you know, you do have to have a strong ethical basis for going forward with this. And, you know, companies that demonstrate either through, you know, sustainability guidelines, ESG, they call it, environmental social governance guidelines, that they have a strong ethical presence, they need to have an established, documented approach to ethics. I mentioned the algorithmic fairness, make sure that you choose technologies that don't build in biases and opinions, if you like, but actually go based on data and good algorithms. The fifth, I would say, is consent management. You know, we have to have means to obtain and manage user consent for personalization. Security is the sixth. That goes without saying. You want to make sure that nobody can tamper or misuse this data. And also the seventh is, you know, accountability, to establish accountability, to make sure that there are teams responsible for hyper-personalization activities that are held accountable for all these things, your compliance with governance policies, ethical guidelines. So you need accountability and oversight of that, meaning management of that. And the last gap is you never rest on your laurels. You continually monitor and improve. That's the basis of good personalization, continuous monitoring and improvement. So by, you know, putting these robust governance mechanisms, etc., into place, that's how, you know, that's how you establish this, the need you have to actually make sure governance is implemented in the right way for hyper-personalization.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Arul. This explains it really well. And I have a final question for today. So what future trends do you foresee in the realm of hyper-personalization and data virtualization?
So data virtualization is already going from strength to strength. Its speed, its access, what you can build into the layer that accesses or gives you access to this information, you can build, as long as it's reliable and trustworthy, more and more functionality to do with the insight you need, what kind of insight. So it'll help you with selecting the right data for your fabric. Okay, so that's going to get cleverer and better, without a doubt. And going forward, once we actually start going down this process of, you know, bringing in democratized data into a fabric that's relevant and correct, and giving access to the right people through self-service, what's going to happen next is we're going to get better and better at building these things. And this is something to watch out for, building data products. You know, maybe there will come a time when we will be known as data products are us, like Toys R Us. We will have data products for everything, you know, data products. And they all vary. If you look at the different types of data products that might exist, there might be very granular ones or high-level ones. But there will be data products for customization, for hyper-personalization, for customer experience, but also for healthcare, you know, things like diagnosing yourself. There'll be a data product to help the applications help you do that. So data products are going to go from strength to strength. And, you know, we at Denodo are lucky. We have a head start on all of this. The fact that we got virtualization right to start with took away a big challenge and allowed us to focus on how best to build best data products, how to focus on use cases that make sense. So that's what I see coming down. Good data products, more intelligent democratization.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Anil. This was a great session. And as we reach the end of our conversation today, I have a quick Q&A round in store for you. Are you ready?
I guess so.
All right, perfect. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice? Okay, as many people of my background have got to come from my parents, and that was to show respect, to understand that respect is one of the most important things you can have for life, for people. So respect is important. And then the other, I would say, is probably keep the communications open. That particularly applies to your own children. If you keep communications open, things work out much better.
Perfect. And the next question is, what's something your listeners would be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, about me. Okay, well, I'm a musician. I play 4 or 5 different instruments. But my passion and my aim always was to be, and this may come as a surprise to you, maybe, Nair, was to be an international cricket star.
Oh, wow. Great. Really interesting. Good to know. Thank you so much, Arul. This was a wonderful session. And thank you for sharing your insights on evolving the customer experience by utilizing hyper-personalization and data virtualization. It was wonderful having you on the show today.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you and an honor to be here. So thank you for having me.
And a quick message to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.